thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Tonight, I want to talk about the importance of necessary changes, because what we found out last week about Moses was that along the way there were some accidental discoveries. He found out that he had a little bit of an anger issue, and he tried to hide that by killing somebody and hiding him in a sand pile, and certainly was a major failure on his part, but yet God was able to use that failure. It was an accidental discovery. God was able to use that to begin to launch him to where God wanted him to be. And I think in this journey, what got you here won't get you there. We're going to find accidental discoveries. We're going to walk face to face into the middle of something, and we're going to find out, wow, that was a discovery. I had no idea I was even looking for it, and boom, there it is. Tonight I want to talk about necessary changes, because along the journey, there are going to be necessary changes that we have to make. Moses, in his 40 years in the wilderness, had to make some necessary changes for God to prepare him for the next 40 years. In other words, that second 40 years, from 40 to 80, God did so much in his life to prepare him for 80 to 120. Moses had no idea what that next season was going to look like in his life, but God did. So what God did is introduce to Moses along the way opportunities to embrace necessary change. Do you think that God would do the same thing in our lives? Do you think that God would bring us face to face with opportunities to choose necessary changes? God is not satisfied with us staying the same. Isn't that true? God wants us to change, and God wants us to grow. So I thought about this, and last weekend, Pastor Jason preached on It's Jesus Plus Nothing. I love that. And I loved how he presented that message. It was powerful. It was impactful. And I got to thinking about math and the reality of math. And on your outline, let's follow along. We'll dive right into here. So here is the definition of math: relationships between figures and forms, and relations between quantities that are expressed symbolically. How many of you love math? Raise your hand if you love math. How many of you hate math? And how many of you are somewhere in the middle? We all have some kind of an attraction at some level for math. Why? Because math is everywhere. Everything in life has to do with math somewhere. We have to do it in life. Math is a reality in the world that we live in. And I was thinking about it when it comes to spiritual math. There are spiritual equations that are being calculated by God all of the time in our lives. Sometimes it's addition, sometimes it's multiplication, and sometimes it's subtraction. Have you ever felt like in your life that God just let something be gone? Maybe even we've used the word God took it away. How many have ever said that? God just took that, he took that ministry, or he took that thing or whatever, and we feel like there's been some kind of a subtraction in our lives. Sometimes we feel like there's been an addition, and it's not a fun addition. God, really, you're going to put one more thing on my plate? And sometimes it just seems kind of overwhelming. Sometimes it's multiplication, and sometimes that can be good. Sometimes God just begins to multiply the blessings in our life. But just like in the earthly realm that we live today, math is vital for life, so are spiritual equations. Spiritual equations are valuable for life. And when we're talking about necessary changes tonight, there may be some additions that need to come into your life. There may need to be some subtractions that come. There might be some things that need to be taken away. There might need to be some multiplications. And so I want us to think about that as we dive into the message tonight, because I just have four simple points that I want to share with you, but I want you to think about it in the realm of equations, because we're talking about necessary changes. And when Moses came face to face with some of those necessary changes, he had to subtract some things. He had to add some things, and even at some point had to multiply some things. So on your outline, just put some silly kind of things on there. Call plus F, what would F be? Any guesses? Faith. Call plus faith plus what's the O? Any guesses? Obedience. Call plus faith plus obedience equals destination. You have a call on your life. Say, yes, I do. You have a call on your life, and you have to add faith plus obedience, and then that's going to equal the destination in life, right? Isn't faith something that you have to continue to add to your life and add to your life faith, 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 same with obedience. On the other hand, call plus fear minus obedience equals stuck. How many of you have ever been there? The call plus fear minus obedience equals stuck. We can get stuck, can we not? This is spiritual mathematics. This is spiritual equations, okay? Sometimes faith plus obedience equals delay. How many of you have been there before? God, I've been faithful, I've been obedient, and then sometimes it comes to equal a delay in life. So I put this on your outline, and I want us to just dive right in. Something must be added or subtracted from an equation for the conclusion to change. Isn't that true? Something has to be added or subtracted from an equation for the outcome or the conclusion to be different. I put on your outline, 1 + 1 = 2. Ooh, that was good. She's quick. 1 + 1 = 10 - 9 = 3 × 3 = 9. I wonder how, if we could get quick with our spiritual equations. Always faith plus obedience, but the fact of the matter is there are times in our lives when things need to be added or things need to be subtracted. And when we're talking about what got you here won't get you there, some of the answers that got you to here right now where you're living are not going to be adequate to get you there. Some of the answers that you have embraced right now and that you know right now, some of the spiritual equations that you know right now are not going to be adequate to get you there. There may need to be a subtraction. There may need to be a multiplication. There may need to be an addition. There's going to be something needed to be added to the equation at your season of life that is going to get you from here to there. Otherwise, we would just coast without ever changing. Isn't it true that God wants us to be ever-changing? If it wasn't true, we wouldn't be here. He would have raptured us out of here. Why are you leaving us on a broken planet, Lord? Certainly you want us to reach the lost, but it's not just about reaching the lost, because in the process of reaching the lost and being great ambassadors and fulfilling the great commandment and the great commission, isn't it true that God works faithfully and tirelessly in your own life? Isn't that true? He won't let you stay the same. So many of the answers that got you here are not adequate to get you there, and it was true in Moses' life. What got him the first 40 years of success in Egypt were not going to prepare him adequately to lead 2 million Jews. He had to go to the backside of the desert and learn some things. So let me give you point number one when it comes to necessary changes. Super important. Moses had to do it, so do we. Know what to stop doing and know when to stop doing it. So we're talking about a little subtraction right here. We have to know what to stop doing and when to stop doing it. Sometimes subtraction is super important. Sometimes subtraction is super important. Moses experienced it. He's got all the blessings of Egypt, the wealth of Egypt, all of that amazing success. He's second in command in Egypt, and he responds in accidental discovery. Got this anger issue, he kills this guy, and all of a sudden now he finds himself on the backside of the desert. I wrote this down on my outline, and I think it's true. Let me say it a couple times to you. I probably shouldn't have put it in red because it's not on your outline. Don't make there sound wonderful. Make here sound too awful to stay. Let me say that again. Don't make there sound wonderful, make here sound awful if we were to stay. See, if you keep making and if I keep making here or there wonderful, then I won't go anywhere. On the other hand, make here sound awful if we stay. In other words, if I stay here all of my life, that's awful. It would be awful for me to stay here all of my life. Why? Because I would cease to grow and I would cease to change. So don't just make there sound wonderful. Oh, I want to be there. I want to be there. Because a lot of people have dreams about wanting to be places, but they never move from where they are. Oh, I want to be there someday. I want to be there. But when you make where you're at right now sound awful, if you were to stay here, then you will move forward. Lord, I refuse to stay here. I refuse to be unchanged. So know what to stop doing and when to stop doing it. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. The Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Do you believe that God is aware of not only the suffering of the world, but your own suffering? God so intimately knows exactly where you're at right now. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites who now live there. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go. Now go. That's what God is saying to Moses. Now go. For I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Moses had to know what to stop doing. There came a time in his life when he had probably gotten used to taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. 40 years? How many of you think 40 years of a routine job, you're going to get used to doing it? You do a job for a year, you get used to it. 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 40 years, Moses has been doing something. He's 80 years old. He's comfortable. He's set in his ways. And God shows up and he says, now go. See, what got you here won't get you there, because there's got to be a now go in our step. There's got to be a now go in my step. There's got to be this now go that when God shows up, I can know what to stop doing so I can go. Do you know what to stop doing? Are you making necessary changes by knowing what to stop doing and when to stop doing it? That is so, so important for us to do. I wrote this on my outline. The beginning of the Christian life is easy and the end is joyous, but it's in the middle where the fiercest battles take place. It's the fiercest battles take place in the middle. The end is easy because God shows up and he begins to do these amazing things in our life. And then the end, what a joy that's going to be. What a joy it's going to be when we spend eternity with Jesus. But in the meantime, we fight these fierce, fierce battles. So the test of faith comes in the middle of our journey. Must be hail, or must be real heavy rain or hail. You hear that? Wow. Okay, are you with me? Oh, this is good. We can use this message, right? So in the middle of the distractions, right? In the middle of the distractions, we're going to stay focused. We're going to stay dialed in. Say, I'm all in. Say, I'm not worrying about my car. I'm not worrying about the hail damage. I'm going to stay, okay, I'm going to know what to stop doing. I'm not going to worry about my car in that parking lot, right? Stop worrying about your car in the parking lot. Okay, number two, here we go. Number two, refuse to make excuses and identify your blind spots. Refuse to make excuses and identify your blind spots. There came a time in the life of Moses where he had to do that. He was making excuses. He was making excuses, making excuses, making excuses. How many of you are convinced that God knows exactly what he wants to do in your life? Exactly what he wants to do. There is absolutely no confusion in the mind of God about what he wants to do in your life. I'm trying to raise my voice a little because the rain is getting louder. So, if you believe that God knows exactly what he wants to do in your life, then we have to choose to refuse to make excuses. And we've got to identify our blind spots. Every one of us have blind spots. And God is going to bring us face to face with our blind spots, because we're going to have to make necessary changes where our blind spots are. Do you believe that? God brought them to God brought them to the forefront of Moses' life because he wanted to confront them. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Moses pleaded with the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just pleaded with the Lord? Please don't send me, Lord. I don't want to do that, Lord. Don't make me do that. I don't want to do that. That's where Moses was living. A necessary change was coming that was bigger than Moses. The change was about other people. See, so often when God does a change in you, it's because of what he wants to do through you to impact other people. We selfishly don't want God to work on the inside of us because it oftentimes means subtraction, or it means addition, or it means multiplication, and it's painful and we don't like it. And so what happens? We start making excuses. God, don't you know I'm awful busy? God, don't you know I just turned 53 years old on Sunday? I don't have the energy level I used to have. How many of you have ever made an excuse in your life? Raise your hand. Yes, you have. And so as a result of that, God will do a great job when we start making excuses of doing what? Showing you blind spots. Oh, he's so good at that. So we start making excuses, and then all of a sudden God reveals a blind spot. Not because he's trying to pick on us, but because he's requiring necessary change, because he's got a people that he wants you to impact and only you can impact. Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled." Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord?" Can you imagine this exchange between God and Moses? What's Moses doing? He's making excuses. God's got necessary change in mind for Moses, and Moses starts making excuses. "I'm too old. I can't do it anymore, Lord." And he says, "Is it not I, the Lord?" And then he says, "Now go." There it is again. There's the "now go" again. "Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else. Don't even send the best qualified. I don't care who you send, God. Just don't send me." So in some ways, God is subtracting from Moses' life by saying, walk away from everything that's familiar to you. Walk away from shepherding. Walk away from your shepherding responsibilities. Walk away from the 40 years of a life that you have developed. And then immediately, God makes an addition. And by the way, go back to Egypt. I'm going to use you. Moses immediately with the excuses. "I'm not very good at talking, Lord." And God right away reveals the blind spot to Moses. "It isn't about you, Moses. It's about me. It's about me who puts my spirit in you, puts my word in you. It's about me that sends you. It's not about you." And so if we're going to make necessary changes, we've got to be honest with ourselves. Are we making lots of excuses? Are we making excuses of why we can't, or why we should, or why we shouldn't? God knows exactly what he wants, and you fit into that equation. Your life fits perfectly into the equation of God. And it might mean right now there's a multiplication. It might mean there's a subtraction. It might mean there's an addition. But God knows. 5 times, God said to Moses, "I am." 5 times. Was it because God didn't know what he meant? It was God said to Moses 5 times, "I am, that I am, that I am, that I am." 7 times, God said to Moses, "I will, I will, I will." So over and over, God wanted to reiterate to Moses that there is no excuse. I am and I will. And I think God would say the same thing to us today. I am and I will. Do we believe that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I am, speaking of God, I am fully capable of making you ready to do whatever I ask you to do. I will send you. I will use you. I will empower you. I will equip you. He is and he will. There's nothing else. He is and he will. So we've got to challenge ourselves without making excuses. Number three, be willing to let go and then leave the past behind. It's similar to number 1. We've got to know what to stop doing and when to stop doing it. But number three, also, we've got to be willing to let go and leave the past behind. Sometimes that is so difficult. Sometimes it is so difficult to let go. How many of you have ever had a hard time just being able to let go of something? Even somebody, even something that God has told you to pray for and pray for and pray for, and all of a sudden God shows up and he says, let go. It's time to let go of it. Just let it go and leave the past behind. In life, hear me when I say this, in life, there are necessary endings. There are necessary endings. It happens. This 40 years in the wilderness for Moses, there came a necessary ending. It needed to end so he could do what God was calling him to do in the next season. And so necessary changes mean that there's going to have to be necessary endings. And so we begin to ask God, what does that mean, Lord? What is the necessary ending? What is the thing that I need to walk into? What is the thing that I need to experience? So in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says this, verses 35 through 36. God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, who made you ruler and judge over us? So 40 years later, God says, you're the man, let go of the past and go where I'm calling you to go. It's ironic in this case that what Moses is letting go of and walking back into was his past. But he was totally a different man. 40 years later, he was a totally different man. There are times in our lives that God is going to do things that don't make sense in the natural. How did this make any sense in the natural? How did it make any sense in the natural for God to send the man that was driven out 40 years earlier right back to where he had come from? In the wisdom and the sovereignty of God, something had happened in those 40 years that what got Moses here and what was going to get him there was the process of trusting God with the necessary changes. So we have to be willing to let go and leave the past behind. Through the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and their savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years. I wrote this on my outline. God's preferred future requires your cooperation. See, God has a preferred future for not only us, but for other people. And he involves us in that, but it requires our cooperation. Moses had to, by knowing what to stop doing, when to stop doing it, refusing to make excuses, by being willing to let go of the past and leave the past behind, he was cooperating with God in the future plans. And necessary changes are going to come in our lives. And part of that is going to be our cooperation in what God wants to do. So we have to convince ourselves, this is not easy to do, we have to convince ourselves that staying here is unacceptable. Staying here is unacceptable. Spiritually speaking, staying here is unacceptable. So that means if we determine that staying here is unacceptable, there may be an addition coming. There may be a multiplication coming. There may be a subtraction coming. But it's going to move us from here to there. What got you here won't get you there. Say it. Say, what got you here won't get you there. Say it again. What got you here won't get you there. Okay, one more point. We're almost done. Okay, number four. So, how many of you dislike school? Raise your hand if you dislike school. Raise your hand if you love school. Raise your hand if you're kind of undecided. Well, I'm going to ask you to go back to school. Here we go. Number four. Enroll in the school of self-discovery. It's one of the necessary changes that has to happen continually in our lives. It's the school of self-discovery. When Moses finally agreed, reluctantly, to do what God had called him to do, he discovered so many things about himself. You know, when you choose to say, what got me here won't get me there, you are enrolling in the school of self-discovery. And along the way, God is going to just bring these remarkable revelations, self-discovery, things that we need to know about ourselves. Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Moses went back to the Lord and he protested. Have you ever protested? Have you ever said, no way, God? Moses went back to the Lord and he protested. Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people? So Moses goes and he says, all right, God, I guess I'll do it. I'm not very good at speaking, so you better have Aaron, my brother, help me. And so certainly there's some reluctance in him. Moses goes back to the Lord because things are not going exactly like he thinks they should. How many of you have ever put in your minds the way that you think the steps should go when you step out to follow the Lord? All of a sudden, you just think in your mind, okay, if I step out to follow the Lord, A, B, and C is going to equal D. And all of these things are going to happen, and then you discover it doesn't go exactly the way you want it, right? Say right. It's exactly what happened to Moses. So here we are in Exodus chapter 5. Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people? He's trying to put it right back on the Lord. Why have you brought all this trouble on your people, Lord? They're not mine, your people. Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been more brutal to your people, and you've done nothing to rescue them. Boy, you talk about the blame game. You talk about him just, look, God, this is on you. This is on you. God is, so much of what God was doing in this was about Moses' self-discovery. It wasn't just about what he was going to do. Could he have at a moment's time delivered the children of Israel? Absolutely. But God knew what the next 40 years were going to be like for Moses, and he knew it was going to be incredibly difficult and incredibly challenging, so he had him in the school of self-discovery. Moses, I got to teach you that you're super impatient. Moses, I got to teach you that you're a short-tempered man. Moses, I've got to teach you that you're a hothead. Moses, I've got to teach you. Moses, I've got to teach you. Blake, I've got to teach you. Blake, I've got to teach you. Boy, we just have to be proactive in enrolling in the school of self-discovery. Because what got you here won't get you there. So there's some self-discovery, necessary changes along the way that God brings to help us to understand those things. Let me read one more thing that I wrote down on my outline. Brandon, I'm going to ask you and the team to come back up here. But before I close with this last scripture, let me read something to you. One of the things that happens in our lives often are circumstances. And sometimes circumstances are beyond our control. Sometimes God shows up and God says, you're going to go. You're not going to go. You're going to stay. You're going to do this. And so listen to this for just a minute. Circumstances that turn against us force dependence. Circumstances that force dependence teach us patience. And circumstances that teach us patience make us wise. Let me read that one more time. Because when we're talking about necessary changes, we're talking about circumstances beyond our control. When necessary change comes, God is on the throne and God is in charge. And so there's going to be circumstances that hit us, come face to face, and hit us that we don't like. And maybe one of those circumstances is going to be, God wants you to stop doing something and know when to stop doing it. God wants us to stop making excuses. God wants us to deal with blind spots. Circumstances that turn against us force dependence. Circumstances that force dependence teach us patience. And circumstances that teach us patience make us wise. What is the wise thing to do? In light of your past, what is the wise thing to do? In light of your present circumstance, right now, what is the wise thing to do? In light of your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to close by reading Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 to us. We all know this scripture. I am sure, said Paul. Church, Paul is in a prison in Philippi when he writes this. Circumstances that are forcing a dependence that's teaching him to be patient, and a patience that's making him wise. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. It's all about the end, isn't it? Along the way, there's going to be addition. There's going to be subtraction. There's going to be multiplication. But what got you here won't get you there. And as we trust the Lord, He's going to bring up things in our lives, and He's going to fulfill Philippians chapter 1. Let me read it one more time. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in His grace until His task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Let's put our hands on our hearts.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.